clearly.
Now we will explain what we asked about the half shekel and what it implies to us in the work. We should interpret when you count the heads. When one wants to be a head in Kedusha and not a tail, it is, as we say, on the eve of the new year. May we be the head and not the tail. A tail means that he himself has no opinion, but he follows the majority without any criticism over what he does. Meaning that he wants to be independent and understand for himself the purpose of his actions. Certainly after the work we receive reward. But what reward does he expect in return for his work? Is it true what he has heard from his tutors, who explained to him that it is better to relinquish rest, both bodily rest and the rest of the intellect, and engage in Torah and Mitzvot? For by this he will receive reward. Why is this a reward? They gave him many examples of reward, that it is certainly worthwhile to make an effort in order to be rewarded with this reward. Or there is a higher and more sublime reward. They showed him examples of reward only suitable to his being a beginner in the work. If he were shown a higher reward than the one they said to him, he would not understand the benefit of the reward due to the smallness of his mind. Therefore, now he must scrutinize and see if this is really the reward that he had heard from them, or should he go and ask what is really the reward he should receive in return for his work. Moreover, now he wants to know what is really the exertion that he needs to make, and what is this matter of exertion. Meaning, if observing Torah and Mitzvot in practice is enough in and of itself, or is an intention required too? That is, do I also need to know why I'm doing the act, and not because I'm doing these actions because I see that there are others who are doing? And they are the leaders of the people, so I want to do as they do. Rather, I want to know if it is possible to know the aim of Torah and Mitzvot. Or is there no one in the world who has a clue what are Torah and Mitzvot? More understanding, more feeling than little children when they assume the burden of Torah and Mitzvot. That is, although the children grow up, become famous in the greatness of the Torah, this is only with respect to the revealed Torah. That is, they have more knowledge of how and in what way the revealed actions should be done. But in the actual greatness of Torah and Mitzvot, they add nothing.
שכל הגדלות הוא רק בבחינת
This means that all the greatness is only in the externality of the Torah and Mitzvot. But to have something internal, no one in the world has a clue. Or perhaps there are people for whom the internality that is in the Torah and Mitzvot was added. He wants to know its interior, meaning what special intention there is in each and every mitzvah. He heard or saw. Time for nothing. In other words, before he began to walk on the path of truth, he had better thoughts about spirituality. He was not so materialistic, meaning he did not find such good tastes in corporeal things. But now that he has begun the work of bestowal, he has received more lust for corporeal lusts because he finds more pleasure in them. It follows that according to this calculation, he doubts the beginning. That is, now he has greater regret for his current work, called bestowal, that he has left the previous work. He was satisfied with actions and felt utterly complete because he knew that the act was the most important, and there is no need to reflect on the intention. He also had assistance from our sages who said, it is not the learning that is most important, but the act. And in actions, he was complete. Naturally, he did everything gladly because he felt that he was a complete person. Should the Creator punish him, he understands that perhaps he deserves the punishment because he did not put a lot of efforts into the commandment. Reprove your neighbor, as our sages said. Anyone who can protest and does not protest is punished for it. It is only in this that he feels that he has been lazy with this mitzvah. This is what he always thought. But now that he has begun to work on the way of in order to bestow, he sees the evil that exists in him more than ever. Therefore, why should he continue in this way? For this reason, now he is in a state of cursed, and the cursed does not cling to the blessed. Follows that now he is regarded as dead because he has parted from the life of lives, and this is regarded as death, called plague. By this we can interpret the reason why there is no blessing in something that is counted. And since the blessing disappears, the sita acha is on it, and it can harm. Something that counted is regarded as a person beginning to count the gains he has made in spirituality. At that time, he sees the opposite. He feels that he has only lost. The Sitra Acha always brings in proof that it is better for him to escape the campaign and he regrets every day that he has exerted in vain. For this path is not for him. It therefore follows that the person cannot do anything in the right way. It follows that on the left line called counting, there is danger of death. If one can be in one line, meaning walking on the path he walked on before he chose to work in order to bestow, when he knew that only actions were required and not intentions. For a person is not demanded from above to work with intentions, unless he can observe the mitzvot. This is really wholeness for him, and he need not think about intentions. However, from this he will never reach the truth. For the truth is that every act should be for the sake of the Creator.
It
is likewise in a state of counting, when he is going to calculate if he has gained from the exertion he has put thus far into the work of the Creator, and wants to see the truth. There is great danger here, because when he sees that he is not progressing in the work, he might regress from the work and come to a state called pondering the beginning. For this reason, the Zohar says that there was a correction there, that they did not count before all that ransom was collected and counted. It follows that first, Israel are blessed when receiving the ransom, and then Israel are blessed again. It follows that Israel were blessed in the beginning and in the end, and there was no plague in them.
ובאמור בדברי הזוהר הקדוש נבין את העצה שיש לנו לתת בעת שרוצים ללכת בדרך.
By what is said in the words of the Zohar, we can understand the advice that we can give when wanting to walk on the path of toward being rewarded with tzukut with the Creator. According to the rule that there is no light without a kli, because there is no filling without a lack. And a lack means a need, and the need must be from the bottom of the heart, to feel what he needs as necessity and not as luxury. When a person feels a lack, he's in a state of cursed, and the cursed does not cling to the blessed. In a state of blessed, a person feels that he has wholeness and lacks, and no lacks at all. Otherwise, he is not regarded as whole. But if he is in wholeness and has no lack, then he has no need called a kli, for the Creator to satisfy. To this comes the answer that Israel were blessed before the count and after the count. And for this reason, there could not be a plague in Israel. The thing is that blessing means that the order of man's admission to the work begins with the right. That is, he should appreciate the service he is giving to the Creator by observing the commandments of the Creator. To the extent that he appreciates the greatness of the Creator, he rejoices in being rewarded with doing what the Creator commanded. This matter of appreciating the Great One is in our nature. We see that it is regarded as a great honor. If there is someone who is the greatest in the generation, and people regard him as an important person, everyone wants to serve him. However, the satisfaction in the service depends on the greatness and importance that the world attributes to this great person.
ולפי זה יוצא, בזמן שהאדם מרגיש ומצייר לעצמו שהוא משמש את השם,
it follows
ומרגיש עצמו
that in such a state,
ואז בא הכלל שברוך מדבר.
When one feels and depicts himself to his, that he's serving the Creator, he feels that he's blessed and comes to the rule that the blessed clings to the blessed. It follows that in such a state a person feels himself as the happiest in the world. This is the time when he needs to thank the Creator for giving him the little service that he served. It follows that in that state he is adhered to the Creator because there is joy in him. As our sages said, the Shekhinah is present only out of joy. Yet at the same time, he still does not have a kli so as to have a need for the Creator to truly bring him closer. Meaning, that his intention will be only to bestow, called Lishma. And in order to achieve Lishma, a person must have a desire and need. But on the right line, where he feels wholeness, there's no place for a lack. Therefore, he must switch to the left line, regarded as counting and calculating, to see with his own mind if he really wants to be a servant of the Creator and not serving himself. That is, in everything he does, he has no other thought but his own benefit. At that time, he sees the truth, meaning the left rejects. He sees that he is unable to do anything for the Creator. To the extent that he felt wholeness in the right and felt good about himself, delighted that he was serving the Creator, to that extent, he feels bad about himself when he sees that he's in a state of remoteness from the work of the Creator. That is, now everything is black to the point where he has no hope of emerging from this control. At that time, he can pray. And then he's in a state called cursed, dead, wicked. For he sees that he cannot work for the sake of the Creator. In order not to have a flaw, since regarding something that is counted, there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and does not sin. He always finds flaws. He must shift to the right line, and then he needs additional overcoming in greatness of the Creator so as to be able to say that he is happy, that he has some grip on the work of the Creator.
שזה דבר חשוב מאוד לשמש את המלך.
Since it is a very important thing to serve the king. For this reason, although it is a tiny grip, still, with respect to importance, I regarded it as a great thing. The fact that the grip on Kedusha has now become smaller is because of the left line. For he saw that he was in utter lowliness. Hence, now it is difficult for him to say the opposite, that he has wholeness. But the truth is that when he says he has wholeness, it is only because of the importance of the greatness of the king. According to the rule that when something is of very high quality, even a small amount of the great quality is more important than a great amount of the low quality. It therefore turns out that each time he must increase the right by way of above reason and always say that as much as he assumes the greatness and importance of the Creator, and that it is worthwhile to be thankful for a small amount, he should glorify and praise the King even more for letting him serve him just a little. It is as it is written, we do not thank you enough, the Lord our God. It turns out that by returning to the right line, where there is work in wholeness, called blessed, and then returning once again to counting and calculating, and then above reason once again, where there is no place for intellectual calculations. This is called blessing before the count and blessing after the count. This is the correction, that there will be no flaw in them, that he will not remain in lowliness and will despair and escape the campaign forever. This is the meaning of half a shekel in the shekel of holiness. It means that the work of holiness, to weigh the work, to give half the work, called right, which is blessed, as ransom to the Creator. Since saying that now he's working entirely for the Creator, and he has no lack in him. So naturally, I can praise and thank the Creator. And I feel that I'm blessed, clinging to the blessed. This is the ransom, that he will not remain in the lowliness of the left, called cursed, and is regarded as separation from the Creator. The other half of the work is in the left. This is as the Zohar says, that there must be a blessing prior to the counting. This means that before a person walks on the left line, called counting, he must be in a state of right, called blessed. Afterward, it is repeated, and naturally, there will be no flaw when they count them. Meaning, when he wants to be rewarded with the mitzvot, being for him as 613 deposits. This is the meaning of what is written, the rich shall not pay more, and the poor shall not pay less than half than the half shekel. Rich means right, one who is walking on the path of wholeness without lacking anything. Rather, he is delighted with whatever he has. This is why it is said, the rich shall not pay more than half a shekel. That is, that he will not walk on the right all the time, but should also shift to the left, called counting and calculating. The poor shall not pay less. Poor means that he has nothing. For when he begins to count and calculate his work, whether it is for the sake of the Creator or for his own sake, he sees that he has nothing with which to say that he is doing this for the sake of the Creator. This is why it is said that the poor shall not pay much less than half. That is, he must shift to the right, which is blessing and wholeness. However, the work should be balanced. These two lines should be equal, so that each of them will increase the other. This is the meaning of what is written, to atone for your souls, specifically by those two, which are opposites to one another. Atonement comes. The soul comes out of the control of the exile, where the nations of the world control Israel with the power of self-love. By this, they will be rewarded with a head of Kedusha, and will not be as a tail. This is the meaning of what is written, there are three partners in a person. His father sows the white, that is, from the right side, called father. His father, male, and male is regarded as wholeness, and wholeness is regarded as white, without any dirt. The mother is called Nukva, female. She sows the red. Here we see a place of danger that we must correct. Afterward, the Creator gives the soul, since out of the two above lines emerges a kli suitable to receive the flow of abundance. At that time we can say that it is regarded as he who comes to purify. This comes after he walks on the two above mentioned two lines. He is aided with a holy soul. How does that build births the need for assistance called the soul? What is that deficiency for a soul?
The deficiency for a soul is clarified and revealed from a person not being able to decide what to do with himself. And that's why he eventually turns to the Creator and everything is clarified. That's it. If other questions, yes.
Can you explain the matter of ransom? He describes it like a kind of insurance that how can you really go to the left and not get stuck there?
Probably the ransom is really some assurance that he is going back to the right.
Who promises?
the ransom.
What is it? Who is it?
He pays through his exertion.
Unclear.
תודה רבה יקר. כתוב פה בטור האחרון של המאמר, סוף פסקה ראשונה.
It says here at the end of the article that the work has to be balanced, that the lines will be equal. Because each one increases the other. What does it mean that they need to be equal so that each one increases the other?
Meaning left and right seems as if each of them cares for the other. So the both of them will be there in as great as possible way in an equal manner. Yes?
No.
Well?
I
want to clarify if in the article there's a feeling that it's like there's twice left and twice right. He says the first kind of right is that he has to bless and adhere to an house besides him. Even the littlest touch that he has, that he won't be in a state of dead, because one who's dead has no corrections. So he is as if adheres by having contact with the Creator. And then there's another left where he decides that now a deficiency can be unlocked. Then there is the right, which is felt in the article. It's supposed to raise him already to another degree of left. It's not the first left.
Yes, because after the left, it's a different right.
Can we understand this right versus the... Because the left, the awakened, seems like it's going to devour him and detach him again. This is what it sounds from the article.
Correct. There is something in that, how a person feels it. But that, on the other hand, raises him to another degree.
After the left that he awakened, now he needs the Creator to awaken him?
Yes.
And in the first time?
In the first one, no, it wasn't.
In the first one, he made some connection?
He didn't have a demand for the right.
Thank you.
He needs to receive new vessels.
What was the question?
Huh? What is reason?
What is reason? And we have to go above reason. Where do you get that from?
From the vessels he receives from the 10, from the group. That's his kli to go above reason.
You agree with that?
Ken.
Yes, Yaakov.
Probably
reason is also every thought that serves and strengthens the will to receive for himself. That I can call dat, reason.
Can
I ask
something?
Yeah.
The extent in which he considers the greatness of the Creator,
and
he needs to glorify and praise the King even as much. By what do we measure the greatness and importance of the Creator?
According to what a person assesses in his heart.
How does a person know that he's not measuring his own greatness, but rather measures the greatness of the Creator?
That on everything before him, he understands that the force of the Creator is greater than that and can save him from each and every state.
That it's something that's greater than how he perceives himself.
Yes. In any case, he can estimate it.
So by all means, it's a means to appreciate the Creator. How does a person use the 10?
He starts from that. Starts from approaching the 10, which is the greatest force
that
there is in front of him versus all the other details.
What does he find in the 10 that with that he can measure the greatness of the Creator?
Okay. The 10 is a measurement.
Yes.
So he can take all of the forces that he thinks that he attributes to the 10, and with that he reaches the Creator.
Feels like a very precise technique here. How is it done?
To the extent that a person is capable of describing that.
That is exactly my question, Rav.
Which one?
That reason is built by the two lines together. The question is whether faith above reason accompanies a person while he's in this process, or could you say that it's just born in the end?
Towards the end.
And when a person does these actions, he's already experienced in them, the intensity in which he does them, is it not dependent on some measure of faith that he has, how high he can reach in the right and how much he can then draw the left without falling then to the left? Does that not, whole action not demand something else from a person?
He doesn't know how to connect the left and right. That's the whole thing. And this is really the question, how to tie together the left and the right.
That's what I wanted to refine the question. Whether during the action, these two actions are kind of like being presented already, or is he stuck in each of those stages, he's in them and can't rise above them prior to that? Is there something higher that accompanies him during this process?
The next state.
Yes, to continue, this is a question I ask each time, but maybe, how does a person know that enough right came now, and now he decides, I'm moving to the left? And then, enough left, it's very dangerous, half was done, that's it, I'm whole, now we must move to the right, to strengthen the right, otherwise the left will become death.
The vessels that are filled with right or with left, they essentially show the person what he should do, what he should be doing.
meaning to the size of the greatness of the that he discovered before, from here onwards it's prohibited to continue on that same line. Yes?
Let's say, yeah.
And that's a decision and the feeling and...
Yes.
Chupchik.
Give it to Chupchik, ponytail.
I'm also in that question. The end of the path of the right line, is it where he discovers a new desire that is, that he truly discovers that he cannot bestow by being in the right, actually? He's going on the right.
Yes.
He makes the importance of the Creator greater. He truly wants to serve in every group he has, to serve the friends and the King. As far as him concerned, that's great wholeness.
Yes.
Now, say he came to such a state. From above, he is given all of a sudden a new desire. Wait, sir, you with all your smallness, you're not doing anything here. You want to advance? Meaning it's a new desire that comes.
But he as if succeeded with the previous state, right?
Yes.
So why is he thrown out now?
So this is the question. He does the action, or does he need to truly devote himself to the wholeness in the smallest grip? As they say, delighted in mercy, and whenever the upper one will bring me a new desire to advance, to discover the wicked in me, then I'll move to the left? Or does he, from his own initiative, does he rise up and do this action?
I think that in each and every state, it's required that a person will show willingness, readiness for the next state. Yeah.
The article ends with the assistance from above that a person receives on the way called the Holy Soul, Anishmet Kadisha. All these articles of Rabash, I have many questions about how to study an article, because you can stumble upon a paragraph and scrutinize it and go deeper there and to seek there, but you can also kind of do a zoom out, see the article as a machine that a person enters in one state and Rabash disassembles him, reassembles him, and he comes out of this article completely different. And I was kind of wondering how to correctly, in what preparation should I enter to hear these articles? I just got this example, like this article is like, there's on the wall there, there's a defibrillator over there that when a person is unconscious, you give him a shock and hopefully both from the left and the right, and a person is brought back to life. It sounds like that, like the articles are very much like that. So there are many questions that are disturbing me. Like there's one article we read, there are hundreds of people, thousands of people around the world, and I don't think there's two people that hear the article the same way. How do you muscle the forces to be together in this state? It's like, it turns out that from such an article, many questions are awakened. Also, when we compare, of course, there's a lot of reforming light because it moves a person from his place many steps forward. But also when you read later some paragraph, a little small paragraph from Baruch Hashem, where he says, I've made you from before and from ahead, it's like it also, you get from there something else completely from what you're receiving from here. The attitude towards feeling where Rabash is reviving us, where he's giving us this and aiding us with this holy soul of ours, needs to be clarified. How to work with this force that is in the articles.
The force of Rabash wants to take us. It does take us from the state we are in and brings us to the state where Bala Sulam can already start treating us, where we understand what Bala Sulam talks about. Are we going to demand from the Creator?
Africa One is asking, is there a difference between scrutinies and calculations in spiritual work, and can we attain something without scrutiny?
To attain something without scrutiny is not possible. We have to at least be in a yearning to attain the scrutinies that the one who writes wants to open up to us. And as much as we attain, as much as we advance, but still we have to learn from the friends how to connect to and push us towards the attainment of the article. Somewhat. What does he want? What does it want?
Women,
Women, PT 38. What does it mean to serve the Creator if He's managing me in every way?
That I agree with the entire form of governance that he shows me, and I have no reason to complain. I rather accept each and every action of his, what's going on right now, what happened in the past, and what will happen in the future. I take all his actions as whole.
Is the agreement called to serve him?
No, this means to approach the approach to his actions.
Yeah.
From Mac 33, what does it mean to be the head of holiness and not the tail?
The head of Kedusha means that that he thinks and brings up a question, and according to that question, the upper one takes care of him, and this entire action is considered Rosh of Kedusha.
Yeah.
A question from Women Latin. Can we say that we will receive the reward at the continuation of the work, even though we're not working on Torah and Mitzvot?
Not working?
Why not working?
Is there such a possibility to do so and not without reward and punishment?
So what's the reward?
That's the question.
First of all, by Torah and Mitzvot, we have to clarify what is the sought-after reward that we have to reach. How do we complete ourselves with the reward? That do we agree in advance about the coming reward, or we have to change, or we have to change the reward? There are several possibilities here. Yes.
How do you balance between wholeness and deficiency?
It's
two lines. I can't balance them unless they come to the middle line, where through the deficiency I can increase You can grow the right line. The middle line is this separate entity in and of itself, or it's this condition?
A merger. We have no more than a plus and a minus.
So what characterizes the middle line in our work?
There's a force there, a demand from the left. And a force of the recognition of good and connection on the right.
But what characterizes it in a practical manner? That a person holds it simultaneously in parallel, because going from right to left is our constant work. When can we say that a person merges it correctly and that is in the middle line?
When he is needful of both the right and the left, and he connects both, combines both, and he exists between the two of them in a balanced way, and he understands that only in this way he can correctly look at creation.
Noma.
Да, дорогой Раф, вот вы сказали, что измерить величие Творца можно потому, как...
You said that measuring the greatness of the Creator is possible by this force being greater than everything else, that it can pull you out of every state. How can we increase the greatness of that force, the presence of that force in our lives?
Grow the Creator, praise Him, glorify Him, and try to come closer to the friends. In principle, these are the two positive forces that can pull us forward.
But that's a feeling. There's a feeling of His force, yes? Yes. Can we say that that's a revelation? Good morning, Rav. Rav, in our 10, we have a problem where not everyone agrees with the Creator, or at least I can say on myself that how do we relate to this state in the 10 when a certain illness comes to a friend? How do we pray correctly for that situation?
The friend received an illness, and we can't justify the Creator. How do we turn to Him and ask Him to take care of it, right?
Yes.
So
what to do?
Because each day we do the Zoom meetings, we pray, we think about the friend, we embrace him, we do whatever's possible, but it is felt that we don't know what to do, that it's simply we all as if feel that there is something that awakens in the 10 where the Creator is as if checking our arvut, and we are doing efforts, but there's also this feeling of what's going to happen with the friend.
What will happen with the arvut, the mutual guarantee?
Arvut now is under a review because now everyone is connecting and everyone's around that and everyone is doing a lot of great efforts in relation to this situation, but it's really felt that I can also say on myself, I don't know about others, but how am I now engaged in relation to the friend, where it's as if beforehand I didn't really care, but now this friend has made it the center of our life.
Excellent. You see what the Creator did?
A
very special deed.
question is, what will happen in continuation with that same friend, where now we've risen to a state where we're thinking about him at every second of our lives? What state the person puts a friend into so that you would think about him, so that you'd be around him all the time? But how can you actually pull him out of that state?
Turn to the Creator more and more.
Only the request all the time?
Only the request all the time.
Is there something that we can add other than the request all the time?
No. Only the request.
Prayer and request to the Creator with the 10 all together?
Together or each one on their own, it's not important.
Even if each friend in their daily lives does some kind of prayer with themselves?
Yes.
But we'll be happy if the friends in the Kli and all the friends will be praying.
Right, each one, your plea to the Creator, and then read it before everyone. All these pleas, all these requests, how much, how similar you are to one another already.
Can I also ask a question?
Yes.
Again, in relation to this matter of left and right, how much are we led like the rider and the horse through left and right, and how much do we create the left and the right?
I think
it's the Creator who is bringing us to these states of left and right. We need only to make some correction with it.
What is the correction to reach the middle line? That's what awakens us to awareness of the Creator.
The correction is to connect in the middle line between us and with the Creator in the prayer.
Tov.
You're off.
Moink.
You told us about this point of balance, that it is the middle line, this balancing point. So what does it mean to, let's say, to go to the new right?
The point
of balance is likely the middle line, and the right is not the middle line. This is why we need to awaken the right versus the left, in order to keep something for us from the middle line.
Mm-hmm. So we awaken actually a new right from the middle point, from the middle line.
Ken.
Yes.
That means we awaken unbalance.
We ourselves are awakening imbalance in order to reach new balance.
Mm-hmm.
We're reading in the book The Writings of Bala Sulam, page 63, article You Have Made Me In Behind and Before. Should we start?
Yes.
Writings of Bala Sulam, page 63, Ariko, You Have Made Me In Behind and Before. You Have Made Me In Behind and Before, meaning the revelation and concealment of the face of the Creator. This is because indeed His kingdom rules over all, and everything will return to its root because there is no place vacant of Him. But the difference is in the present or the future. Because one who connects the two worlds discovers his clothing in the present, that everything is done is a clothing for the revelation of the Shekhinah, divinity. This is deemed the present, meaning that now too he comes out in royal attire and evidently shows that the rider is not subordinate to the horse. But although it seemingly appears that the horse leads its rider, the truth is that the horse is provoked to any movement only by the sensation of the rider's bridle and headstall. This is called the construction of the stature of the Shekhinah, and it is also called face to face.
Is that clear? Any questions?
Good
morning, Rav and friends.
Writes
here that the horse doesn't awaken from any movement. To any movement, but only by the sensation of the rider's bridle and headstall. What does it mean that the horse is not provoked to any movement? That the horse is provoked to any movement.
He wants to describe that there's no vacant place of the Creator. And in each and every state a person is in, he is under the control of the Creator.
So he says that there's the rider is sitting on the horse and then he kicks the horse in the stomach there below. So what does it mean? Is that the Creator directing us? We feel these blows.
Of course the Creator is guiding us.
All the time there are blows, meaning what I'm asking is that everything you're hearing here, I'm just like a rider, I'm picturing a rider and a horse, like it's necessary for the rider to give the blows to the horse, so that without that the horse doesn't progress, it just sits there.
Yeah.
So without the rider, the horse can't move forward.
No, no, with all the animate degrees, you have to connect with them in the form of controlling.
So, I can close the question. What does it mean face to face if that's the situation? If I get blows, what, I reach face to face?
No, that's relative to your understanding.
What does it mean understanding?
According to the good will of the horse and the good will of the rider.
What, that's not called revelation? He said that that's the revelation of face to face. It's not a revelation.
Yeah, yeah. It's a relative revelation, the revelation for the horse, the desire of the rider.
So what I'm understanding here, in order to reach face-to-face, you need to get blows. That's what he's saying.
No.
The blows of the foot of the rider.
As much as you need to change yourself in order to be in accordance with the desire of the rider, accordingly, you have to try.
Meaning there's a state where we don't need the blows from the rider on the horse and then we can reach face to face, or there is no such thing.
Let's say you know in advance.
What does that mean?
You know all the desires of the rider. And consequently, you arrange yourself in this way where you can carry them out one by one.
Meaning there is a state that you don't need the blows in order to reach face to face. There is such a thing?
I don't think so.
So in any case, we need to get the blows.
The question is, after you know about that, do you resist it or do you submit yourself and you learn from it?
Tell you the truth, I oppose it completely. And I can say it from my life, because my whole life,
we don't need to know about your life, forgive me.
I'm not telling my whole life story.
What do you wish to propose to us in place of what Kabbalists write to us about our state?
Look, I don't want to get blows. I don't want blows. I want to progress without blows. Is that possible?
It's possible. That's what they write.
How is it possible? How do you progress without blows? Let's understand what you're telling me.
You try to understand what is the desire of the writer.
Okay, so we learn it, we hear everyone. Continuing Svika's scrutiny. In the 10, we have people with all kinds of qualities. Is the question, does a person need to change his qualities? Meaning a person who's controlling, a person who is afraid, all kinds of qualities in our study over these years. Should the quality change in order to do that correction, that as Svika said, or how does that work?
We try to be connected. So together, together, we can carry out the commands of the Creator, the orders of the Creator. That is the purpose of our connection.
So if I have a controlling friend in the tent, what should we do? What does he need to do? What do I need to do?
Try to balance all the friends in the 10 and to advance together toward the purpose of creation as much as you can.
Ken.
The
horse feels that the rider is on him. It's this physical sensation. I don't feel that the Creator is embracing me. I always need to remind myself that the Creator is surrounding me everywhere. How do we reach a state where I'm really wrapped in the Creator?
That's your work.
It exists in the mind, but not in the heart.
We can be there.
How?
That everything that surrounds you on all sides, it's all the Creator. Nature.
I
constantly remind myself of that in the mind, but there is no sensation. I got this inspiration before that the friend came here, but I don't get this feeling that it's all the Creator. There is no such sensation.
We are at a time when the souls that come are heavy souls. It's hard to commit them, to submit them, to convince them that we are indeed under the domination of the Creator.
We understand that and we want that.
But
it doesn't enter the heart.
But there's a difference between what we hear and maybe for some of us, what we understand a little, and all the way up to feeling it and agreeing with it. That's the path. But we need to do it. We need to make efforts to work together. There's no choice.
Continue praying. Thank you. Is it correct to say that even though a person sees with his own eyes that there's this reality of in order to receive, but it's all in order to bestow?
No, chutz mi adam.
Aside from the person.
Other than the person. Why am I asking? Because if a person sees that he is in practice, in an action, let's say, in an action of in order to receive. But the Creator acts everywhere, in everything. So how is it correct to relate to that? There is an action of in order to receive, or it's only on the person's behalf?
It's only on the side of the person, from his point of view.
So the action can be correct, but the person sees that it's corrupted.
It's not only that a person sees the action in order to receive, from the side of the will to receive, this action comes from man, from the person.
So where's the Creator here?
The Creator allows it to happen because he wants to educate, to teach a person.
It can't be that the act is an act of bestowal in any case.
How can there be an act of bestowal if it's totally an act of reception, egoistic action? To the detriment of the environment, of the people.
So the Creator allows this kind of reality.
The Creator is allowing such a reality for the time being in order to bring a person to recognize the evil so he can correct it. When the Creator sends blows to a person, what does he want from him? What's he doing to him by sending these blows to him?
He wants from a person that the person will respond correctly.
What does it mean to respond correctly to a blow?
That the person will ask questions in a way where the Creator, as if attracts him. It doesn't repel him, but attracts.
So the blow, is that how he awakens a person? He beats him to awaken him?
Yes.
And then what is the process? What does it mean that you realize the blow correctly? There's this dialogue with the Creator here.
If the person pays attention to that in which the Creator attracts him, and he sees in these rejections the attractions of the Creator, then he progresses very quickly.
Clear. What does it mean that the correct questions awaken from the blows?
Because the blows come from the will to receive, from within oneself, and the person asks, he wants to see and hear these acts of these blows as acts that come from the Creator's love toward him.
How is it expressed that you are cleaved to the Creator during the blow? How do you not condemn him, but you adhere to him?
You try. That is called that I truly justify the Creator through all the states.
It's clear. So if I want to summarize for myself, when the blow comes, what does it mean that he fulfilled it?
Bless. Bless. Raise the songs.
And by that you cleave to him.
Yes. That needs to be a special atmosphere in the ten, where everyone supports that. and are drawn to take hold of that. Yes.
How can a person sing when the creator beats him up?
A person sings?
Yeah, sing. How does he sing when the creator, and praise the creator when the creator sends him blows?
On the contrary to the creator, he wants to awaken himself. He wants to hold himself in a way where he doesn't let himself cry.
It's not clear then.
If he cries, so what comes out of that? He shows the creator that he's like a baby.
Or
if he rejects it in a more spicier way, then he's like a criminal.
That
doesn't help. It doesn't help. Years go by until a person starts feeling that his entire response in relation to the Creator needs to be out of love, like the Creator seemingly relates to him.
When a person sings to the Creator, praises him, blesses him, instead of crying about a blow he received, what does it do to the state, to that state?
That state changes the feeling of the Creator in the person.
Into what? What does he see in the Creator now?
He sees that he is good, that does good.
And how can such an attitude influence the ten when the person corrects his attitude toward the ten and tries to work in this way?
I
didn't understand.
When a person blesses the Creator when he's received a blow, how does that raise the ten? How does it work on the ten in its entirety? Or is this just his personal state?
A personal state is easier. Collective state also influences the generality of the ten, because he's one of the ten.
When a person receives a blow, he gets glued to the rider. But how to adhere to him without the blow?
So they have no connection.
The connection between the Creator and created being is through blows?
Blows, hugs, it could be anything, but it needs to be emotional.
Lack of adhesion in the Creator. If a person is conscious of his lack of adhesion, can he define it as a blow?
No. He defines that as a state where he wants from that state in any case, to come closer to the Creator.
Can a blow be felt consciously in a person, or it has to be in practice in his body, in his life, in his material world?
That doesn't matter. If he's feeling the blow, so he's already feeling something. If he's thinking of the blow, then he's already feeling.
Akoka.
When the Creator sends blows to a person, what does he want from him? What's he doing to him by sending these blows to him?
He wants from a person that the person will respond correctly.
What does it mean to respond correctly to a blow?
That the person will ask questions in a way where the Creator, as if attracts him. It doesn't repel him, but attracts.
So the blow, is that how he awakens a person? He beats him to awaken him?
Yes.
And then what is the process? What does it mean that you realize the blow correctly? There's this dialogue with the Creator here.
If
the person pays attention to that in which the Creator attracts him, and he sees in these rejections the attractions of the Creator, then he progresses very quickly.
So, what does it mean that the correct questions awaken from the blows?
Because the blows come from the will to receive from within oneself, and the person asks, he wants to see and hear these acts of these blows as acts that come from the Creator's love toward him.
How is it expressed that you are cleaved to the Creator during the blow? How do you not condemn him, but you adhere to him?
You try. That is called that I truly justify the Creator through all the states.
It's clear. So if I want to summarize for myself, when the blow comes, what does it mean that he fulfilled it?
Bless. Bless.
La'alot et ha'shira.
Raise the songs.
And by that you cleave to him.
Yes. That needs to be a special atmosphere in the ten, where everyone supports that, and are drawn to take hold of that. Yes.
How can a person sing when the Creator leads him up?
How a person sings?
Yeah, sing. How does he sing when the Creator, and praise the Creator when the Creator sends him blows?
On the contrary to the Creator, he wants to awaken himself. He wants to hold himself in a way where he doesn't let himself cry.
It's not clear then.
If he cries, so what comes out of that? He shows the Creator that he's like a baby. Or if he rejects it in a more spicier way, then he's like a criminal. But that doesn't help. It doesn't help. Years go by until a person starts feeling that his entire response in relation to the Creator needs to be out of love, like the Creator seemingly relates to him.
When a person sings to the Creator, praises him, blesses him, instead of crying about a blow he received, what does it do to the state, to that state?
That state changes the feeling of the Creator in the person.
Into what? What does he see in the Creator now?
He sees that he is good, that does good.
And how can such an attitude influence the ten when the person corrects his attitude toward the ten and tries to work in this way?
I
didn't understand.
When a person blesses the Creator when he's received a blow, how does that raise the ten? How does it work on the ten in its entirety? Or is this just his personal state?
Personal state is easier. Personal state is easier. Collective state also influences the generality of the ten, because he's one of the ten.
When a person receives a blow, he gets glued to the rider, but how to adhere to him without the blow?
So they have no connection.
The connection between the creator and created being is through blows.
Blows, hugs, it could be anything, but it needs to be emotional.
Lack of adhesion in the creator. If a person is conscious of his lack of adhesion, can he define it as a blow?
No. He defines that as a state where he wants from that state in any case, to come closer to the Creator.
Can a blow be felt consciously in a person, or it has to be in practice in his body, in his life, in his material world?
That doesn't matter. If he's feeling the blow, so he's already feeling something. If he's thinking.
Rav, I told Shaul to speak with the Creator. What does it mean to speak with the Creator?
To turn to him and to tell him something that you have on your heart.
I turn to him, I say to him what's on my heart, but how is this? How can this dialogue help with friends, not me?
In that you ask for yourself and for the friends, it acts on all of you.
But you can't see that it's helping the friend. For example, a friend is ill. How can my plea to the Creator help him get better?
If you pray to the Creator and the Creator hears and acts according to your words, so you influence the friend to get healthy.
I don't want the prayer to help me. I don't want to feel good for praying. I want to help the friend's body.
Okay, ask.
I
have nothing to say. I bring you the laws of nature. What you do with that, you decide.
Thank you.
I can
continue to ask about the blows. There are all kinds of blows, different kinds of blows the Creator is sending, or that we feel from, by our nature. One of them is a state of uncertainty. Oftentimes, friends receive such states. Could be a child whose future is uncertain health-wise, someone in the family you don't know what's happening with. This state of uncertainty, what's its purpose? It conquers a person, it occupies his mind, his heart. It places him in this fear. What do you do with it?
There
are many moments a person needs to position himself toward the Creator. He needs to establish himself correctly in relation to he is good that does good, in relation to there is none else besides him. He needs to connect with his friends. With everything that he is capable of. And progress accordingly.
The feeling of uncertainty places a person in need of security, confidence. He needs to get this a promise that things will be all right.
Yes. In such a state, the friend who is in that state, if we wish to help him, can the friends cover the feeling of insecurity that he feels in corporeality with the help of the security and confidence we give him in spirituality?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so how do we need to aim it correctly to help the friend?
Pray. There's nothing here to add. Pray to the Creator.
Our prayer is for the Creator to give the friend the cover,
whatever you want. Yes.
Ken.
החור וקדם זה מדוד המלך, אני חושב, מתהילים, והוא...
You have made me behind before, it's from King David, from Psalms.
From Psalms.
And you said that during the blow, you know, you sing, it's like the Psalms is like a song, like a long song.
Yes, certainly.
What is it about the song? I see that there's a friend that when he speaks or he writes a song and he sings it, it enters my heart differently compared to just speaking about it and describing it. What is it about a song?
Song, they say, is a more direct way to reach the heart, that it comes from the heart and enters the heart.
יש ביכולת להגיע לנקודה הזאת, זה כמו שאפילו
the ability to reach that point, like the Yemenites, their prayer is very sing-songy, and they play it.
Yes, that's how a prayer needs to be.
Thank you.
Yan.
שמעתי שהתגובה הנכונה למכות צריכה
לבוא. I heard that the correct response to the blows should be to bless the Creator, and that the crying doesn't help. But we see that there is a matter of the gate of tears that you have to reach. And Rabbi Shimon cried, and Rabbi Chia cried. What is the correct cry?
I cannot say, but look, crying can come from a person crying from joy, from sorrow, from despair, from some tragedy that he has, a trauma. Could be something in relation to him, his family, his relatives, God forbid, on others, etc. Crying can, as we learn in the wisdom of Kabbalah, that crying can be from a state where one cannot hold on to oneself and he bursts out in tears, either from joy or from sadness. That's what we learn. And as such, we need to learn about it.
So
a person has to hold himself back? Or let it go.
There's a whole spectrum here. There's one time for one, there's another time for another, there's a whole spectrum from one extreme to the other. Tzvika, what, you gonna steal from us the last few minutes?
I try, it doesn't always work out. Tell me, what does he want from us? What does he want from us?
We heard that question from you 1,000 times.
What does this such a death help us?
He doesn't make any death upon us or you.
What about the rider? Is there any chance for me to be like the rider and not like the horse? Is there such a state?
You can be both the rider and the horse.
Both the rider and the horse?
Yes, think about it.
ו...